We mentioned in the Mishnah the halacha that one needs drisha v'chakira. One needs to do intense investigation. As mentioned yesterday, we don't need a Mishnah to teach me that I've got to cross-examine the Eidim. Obviously, we all understand that. Two people can't just show up in Beis Din and be expected to be believed without any type of basic investigation. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Drisha v'chakira is intense investigation, and the Mishnah says that applies not only to Dinei Nefoshos, which is the source of this whole subject, but also Dinei Momonos. Why? Because we have that famous pasuk, Mishpat Echod Yelochim. Now, we're going to begin the Gemara, but in order to appreciate and understand the Gemara, we need to make an important introduction. We are all aware that when somebody lends money to somebody else, Shmita cancels the debt. That we all know. That is true even nowadays. Shmita, it's what's called Shmita Meshametes. What does it mean, Shmita Meshametes? Shmita cancels the debt. When exactly does it cancel the debt? There is a discussion. We paskin at the end of Shmita. At the end of Shmita. That means if I lend you today, Erev Shavuos, I lend you $1,000. So then, Shmita, come Shmita, if that loan has not yet been paid back, the loan will be cancelled. There are a number of very important exceptions. What are the exceptions? Firstly, it depends when exactly was the due date. When was that loan supposed to have been paid? If it was supposed to have been paid before the Shmita, which means come the Shmita, this Jew is already outstanding, this loan is already outstanding, so then indeed Shmita cancels the loan. But if I lend you, for example, money today for 10 years, I'm lending you money for 10 years. So come the next Shmita, which is in about 4 years' time, 5 years' time, then the loan is the loan is not due anyway. Under those circumstances, Shmita will not cancel the loan. Number one. Number two, another halacha, for reasons that we're not going to go into now because it's not our subject. I'm just mentioning it because Rashi mentions it. If I lend you money with a mashkin, what's a mashkin? A collateral. So I give you the $1,000, but I take your golden Rolex watch, which is sitting by me. Then also Shmita is not meshamit. Shmita will not cancel the loan. Thirdly, as we are all fully aware, if I write a prusbul, I write a shtar towards the end of Shmita, we're not going to go now into all halachics of prusbul, but the bottom line is it's considered as if Beis Din now become the owners of the debt, and then the Shmita does not cancel the loan. That is a basic summary of the halachas that are relevant to us. So the number one rule is any debt which is owed and payable by the end of Shmita and has not been paid, then it becomes cancelled. So too if there's a mashkin, so too if there's a prusbul. So with that, now let's immediately start the Gemara. Says the Gemara on the fifth line, Dinei Momonos, when it comes to monetary matters, mi bo'inon drisha v'chakira, question mark. Do we really require drisha v'chakira? Do we really require intense investigation as taught to us in the Mishnah? Is that true? We're going to try and prove the Mishnah wrong. Now, Rabbosai, we have to be clear. If we're not clear, then we're not going to understand a word of the Gemara. What is the whole source of this halacha of drisha v'chakira? Where does it say in the Torah, Drisha v'chakira? And the answer is with regard to Dinei Nefoshes. It does not say anywhere in the Torah that in the case of Dinei Momonos, you need Drisha v'chakira. It only says so with regard to Dinei Nefoshes. V'dorashta v'chokarta. Our Mishnah taught us that by extension, because there's another pasuk that says, Mishpat Echod Yeh Lochem, one type of justice you shall have for you. So we learn from there that whatever it says by Dinei Nefoshos is true also in the case of Dinei Mamonos. But it's very critical to remember that it doesn't actually say anywhere clearly in the Torah that Dinei Mamonos requires Drisha v'chakira. It's a limud if it says it by Nefoshos, stage one. It then says a pasuk Mishpat Echod, stage two. So that's teaching us that the halachas of Bezdin are uniform. So when the Gemara now begins with a question, does Dinei Mamonos really require Drisha v'chakira? What in fact is the Gemara asking? Nobody in the world could possibly debate whether Dinei Nefoshes requires Drisha v'chakira. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So what in fact are we debating? Whether the limud that we wanted to extrapolate from that posuk, Mishpat Echad Yielochem, to compare Dinei Nefoshes to Dinei Mamonos, as the Mishnah taught us, is that true? That's what we're debating. So again, Dinei Nefoshes is not up for discussion. It's a posuk in the Torah. But Dinei Mamonos is not a posuk. We learn it out from a drosha. That's the question. Is that drosha authentic? Because we seem to have a proof, and this is what the Gemara is now going to ask, that Dinei Mamonos actually does not seem to require Drisha v'chakira. Why? Says the Gemara. V'ramin hu, we want to ask a stira. What's the stira? The stira is from a braisa. Shtar, now let's take this slowly, it's a little bit complicated. Shtar shezmanoi kosov. A shtar that has the time, in other words, the date written in it. That's always a basic requirement in any documentation. It's got to have a date. By the way, this is true, not only in a loan, but as we know, for example, under the chuppah, in the ksuba, always has to have a date. What is a ksuba? Ksuba is a shtar. Shtar shezmanoi kosov. The shtar in which it is written, be'echod, be'nisan, be'shmita. This money was loaned when? On the 1st of Nisan during Shemitah. Why the Shemitah element is important, we'll see later. So says the Braisa, it says, Zmanoi Kosov, the time that's written in the Shtar, is Be'echod Be'Nisan Be'Shemitah. On the 1st of Nisan in Shemitah. That is when this loan took place. Fine. Uba'u Edim. Edim all of a sudden come along. Va'omru, and they say. Remember, every shtar must by definition be signed by two Edim. Otherwise it's not a shtar. So let's make up some names over here. We've got a shtar dated Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Who are the signatories on it? Reuven and Shimon. Come along, Levi and Yehuda. Va'omru, and they say, Heich atem me'idin al shtar zeh. How on earth can you, Reuven and Shimon, testify about this shtar? V'haloi, but surely b'yoim ploini, on this particular day. Which particular day? On that Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Imanu hoyisem b'mokoim ploini. You are in fact with us in the United States of America. So how can you possibly say that? What? There's a shtar here, dated Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and you testify that you saw a loan take place between Ploini and Almoini in Ramat Bet Shemesh. Well, Levi and Yehuda show up and say, excuse me, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you cannot possibly have been in Ramat Bet Shemesh because actually you are with us in America. Now, normally, what do we call that? What is that halachic process called? That's called Edim Zoymimin. That's classic Edim Zoymimin, the magic two words, Imanu Hayisem. Imanu HaYisem, you are with us. So we know Imanu HaYisem, what does that do? Well, obviously the Eidus is cancelled. Not only that, we give the punishment to the Eidim, the exact punishment that they were trying to administer on somebody else. Says the Braisa, here we're in for surprise. Shtar kosher. The shtar is kosher. The aid of ksherin, and the witnesses are kosher. How can that be? How can it possibly make any sense? They've testified in the shtar that they saw a loan between Ploini and Almoini on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the Shmita year in Ramat Bet Shemesh. And Levi and Yehuda have just come to Bez and say, excuse me, Reuben and Shimon, on that Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the Shmita year were with us, the United States of America. So what's going on? How can the shtar possibly be kosher? They're clearly downright liars. Says the Braisa, tremendous chidush. Chayshinon, because we have to be concerned that maybe Shema Ichru, they delayed the Kosvuhu and they wrote the shtar late. What does that mean, they delayed? When was this shtar dated? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's true, they wrote the shtar on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but that was a delay. The loan actually took place before then. So that's what the Braisa is teaching us. We're choishesh chayshinon shemo ichruhu v'kosvuhu. Do you know when the loan actually took place? Not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It really took place a month before on Rosh Chodesh Adar. And they were in Ramat Bet Shemesh on that day. What happened? They then went to America. It's true, we accept that. And whilst they were in America, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, yes, they were in America, nobody denies, they then wrote a shtar, dated when? Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because that's the day today. And they write that what? That we saw a halva in Ramat Bet Shemesh. So of course, the shtar now is very confusing. If it's dated Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it says we saw a loan in Ramat Bet Shemesh, so what does it look like? It looks like that clearly what they're testifying is that the loan took place when? Today. And that's why Levi and Yehuda are saying, excuse me, that's a downright lie because you can't possibly have been there. You were with us in America at the time. Says the Braisa, yes, but maybe what happened is the loan in fact took place not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It took place on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Why, if you ask, was it then dated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Because for whatever reason, they delayed the writing of the shtar by a month. They were in Bet Shemesh on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They then traveled to America and on Rosh Chodesh Adar, excuse me, Rosh Chodesh Adar, they were in Bet Shemesh. They then traveled to America. A month later on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then they finally find the time, they sit down and they write, we, Reuven and Shimon, hereby testify that we saw a loan in Ramat Bet Shemesh. So technically speaking, is there any lie in this story? No. It's absolutely true that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we are testifying that we saw a loan. We don't mean to say that we testify that we saw the loan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We saw the loan on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Says the Braisa, therefore, the Edom will not be cancelled and the Shtar will be kosher.
But Larry, you want
to... doesn't the Shtar have it happen, wouldn't it make have it the date of the loan?
Doesn't yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't it make it simple if the halacha was that we saw a loan on Rosh Chodesh Adar, today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we're writing it late?
For sure. That's the big question over here. This is exactly, as Rabbi Leo David is pointing out, isn't the halacha that you've got to write the exact day that the halva took place? And this, Rabbi Isai, is going to be our question. Carry on the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Shema Ichuruhu. Again, we have to be concerned that maybe the loan really did take place, not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan as dated, but rather it took place a month before. Shema Ichuruhu. What does Ichuruhu mean? They delayed. The loan actually took place a month before, which means factually they are not lying. Now, before we continue and see what the Gemara's question is, let's first see Rashi. There's a lot of Rashi. says Rashi, Be'echod, Be'nissan, Be'shmito. The first of Nissan on Shmito. Lekamon mefarish, later on, the Gemara will explain, Amai nokat Shmito. Why do we mention Shmito? Shmito does not, at this point, seem to be a relevant part of the story. The chiddush of this braisa is that even though the shtar is dated wrong, we still kosher it for reasons we just explained. Why is it relevant that this story happened to take place in Shmita? Seems to be totally of no consequence. Says Rashi, good question. The Gemara will deal with it. Zok Rashi. Shezmanoi kosov. Zmanoi hoichiach. The date of the shtar would surely prove to us Shenichtav be'echod be'nissan b'shmita. That it was written, this is the way it's dated, on the first of Nissan in Shmita. Now, remember, Nissan is halfway through the Shmita year, so we're running into danger. Because if this bypasses the end of the Shmita, the loan is going to be cancelled. Says Rashi, we'll take care of that. V'hoitzi bal choiv al chaveiroi alidei mashken. The bal choiv, which means the lender, produces a mashken. Remember we said before that if a mashken, a collateral, is taken by the malver from the loiver, then shmita does not cancel the loan. That's one example. Oi alidei prosbul. That was our second example. So then also shmita is not meshamet, says Rashi. Sheloi meshamtasoi shvius. Well, then Shmita is not meshamet. What was our third example? We mentioned this as well. Oi shehigia zmanoi ligvois koidem Rosh Hashanah shel shminis. Or the pay up time was before Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, which means the end of the Shmita. V'shvi'is b'nissan eina meshametes. Elo b'soifo. At which point is Shmita meshamet? When is Shmita cancelling the loan? Only at the end of the Shmita year. D'ksiv miketz sheva shonim. L'soif shvi'is v'ze kodam. And he has now come prior to that, prior to the end of Shmita. So Rashi has given us three different examples of how, even though this loan took place in Shmita, nonetheless, we can in fact claim the loan. Example number one, there was a mashkin. Example number two, there was a prosbul. Example number three, the end of Shmita has not yet arrived. Rashi points out it's only the end of Shmita that's meshamet this loan. But we're not holding them. So therefore, because we pasken that soif Shmita meshametes, it's only the end of Shmita that's meshamet. It's not prior to that. So as long as we haven't yet hit the end of Shmita, he can still claim the loan. Says Rashi, chayshinon shemo ichruhu v'kisvuhu. Maybe it was actually delayed, even though they wrote Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It doesn't mean that's when the loan took place, says Rashi. V'koidem lochein ro'u hamilva. Actually, it was long before Rosh Chodesh Nisan that they saw the milva. Where? B'mokoim hakosov b'shtar. In the very place which is described in the shtar, we spoke about Ramat Bet Shemesh. Nothing against Netanya, Larry. V'hutal aleihem lichtoiv shtar. Really, it was incumbent on them to write a shtar. They, had they followed the proceedings properly, what would they have done? They would have written a shtar immediately. That's what you're supposed to do. In our example, this loan actually took place in Rosh Chodesh Adar. They should have taken out a pen and paper on that very day and written a shtar. But they did not do that. The ichruhu, and they delayed milakoisvoi, they delayed in writing it ad echod b'nissan until Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Ah, one second. Where were they on Rosh Chodesh Nissan? They were no longer in Bet Shemesh. They were now in America. V'kosvu, so they narrowed the shtar b'mokoim, in the place she'oimrim ha'mazimin. Who are the mazimin? The accusing edim, Levi and Yehuda. They wrote it in America. Indeed, yes, we don't deny. We were in America then. But v'loi kosvu sheim ha'mokoim she'nichtav boi hashtar. They do not write the name of the place where the shtar was written. They do not write America, which is where they were on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What do they write? Elos Sheim HaMokim, they write the place, Shero'u HaMil Veshom, where they saw the loan. So the date is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Where were they in Rosh Chodesh Nisan? In America. Which location is spoken about in the shtar? Not America, rather Ramat Bet Shemesh. That's why the accusing Edim, Lichoira, have very good taina. What's going on over here? Rosh Chodesh Nisan Bet Shemesh? But excuse me, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you are with us in America. Now, we'll leave the rest of Rashi for the moment. So now, everybody is bothered, Rabbi Leo David, Rabbi Larry, what's going on over here? What's this business of testifying, of witnessing a shtai loan in Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Bet Shemesh, on Rosh Chodesh Ador, and then emigrating to America, and on Rosh Chodesh Nisan writing a shtai dated Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but describing Bet Shemesh? What's going on over here? So look back into the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, and this is our big question. And if you're going to tell me that bo'inon drisha v'chakira, this now comes back to our discussion. If you're going to tell me that dinei momonos needs drisha v'chakira, remember that was the chiddush of our Mishnah. What is drisha v'chakira, Rabbi say? Drisha v'chakira is an intense investigation. What are they going to ask him in the intense investigation? Well, obviously, the first thing they're going to ask him is, where did this happen? When did this happen? Why do we do investigation of the Edim? What's the point? The answer is to prove their emes. If we ask the first aid, where was it? And he says it was in Netanya, and the other one says it was in Haifa, well, then we throw them out. That's the whole purpose of the investigation. If one says it was in Rosh Chodesh Nisan and one says it was Rosh Chodesh Adar, then we obviously throw them out. That's the whole purpose of the investigation. So if you're going to tell me that Dinei Momonos requires Drisha V'Chakira, Heichi Chayshinon, how on earth can you possibly suspect that Shema Ichruhu V'Kisvuhu? How can you possibly suspect that maybe the shtar is correct after all? And even though the date is all wrong, because the loan never took place in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it took place in Rosh Chodesh Adar. So what are you saying? Yeah, but maybe a month later they should. Well, if that's the case, I'm sorry. The whole Drisha V'Chakira business is a waste of time. What's the point of trying to cross-examine them, trying to ascertain the absolute truth, when here we have a classic case where it looks for the world that there's a downright lie and you're sort of twisting things? No, it says Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it really means Rosh Chodesh Adar. Well, how are you ever going to prove Edim wrong? Look at Rashi. Heichi Omar, how can you possibly say Shema Ichruhu, quote unquote? How can you say that we have to be concerned that maybe the shtar was delayed in written? Mechti, after all, Drisha v'chakira, the whole purpose of Drisha v'chakira is for what? La'akhushi kasi, in order to try and disprove the edim, to try and find discrepancies. V'heicha d'kom iskashu kamon. If we do find a discrepancy, neku anan, are we going to stand up, matartzinon lemil sayhu, are we going to answer it b'shema with a maybe? With a maybe? Remember, here we've got a shtar saying that Pliny borrowed money for Almoini. Do we all admit that it looks for the world like it's a downright lie? It looks like it's all a load of baloney, because the shtar is dated Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's written about Bet Shemesh, and we know they were not in Bet Shemesh at the time. So what are you going to say? Yeah, but maybe, just maybe, just maybe, 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 the Edom actually emigrated and they went to America. That's how you're going to now take money from somebody? You're going to say to Pliny, sorry, you've got to pay the $1,000. Why? The shtar is possible. No, but maybe it was delayed. Well, what's the point of examining the Edom then? Isn't the whole point of the examination of the Edom to prove the absolute truth, not a maybe? If I was happy with a maybe, then I wouldn't need to examine the Edom in the first place. So this is the big question. How can you tell me, like it says in our Mishnah, that Dine Momonos requires Drisha V'Chakira, and yet here we have a Braisa that says basically we're happy to extract money based on a maybe. Well, if you're happy to extract money with a maybe, who needs investigation? Investigation, surely the function is not to be a maybe, it's to be a definite. This is the big Gemara's question. So next time it's Hashem, which I guess will be after Matan Torah next Sunday, will Be'ez Hashem continue. And in the meanwhile, I wish everybody a very, very enjoyable and a very uplifting Kabbalah Satayim.
Rabbi, can I throw